O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In reflecting on scripture this week, I couldn't hold myself but to, I found myself humming this tune that it wasn't so much something that I've known when I was growing up, but it's a tune that comes from one of the hymns from Willington Creek. And I will try not to sing. And it goes, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing." Today we find ourselves in the journey with two of the disciples to Emmaus. The story is so well known, at least I find that it is, that the phrase alone, the road to Emmaus, spark images of the disciples walking with Jesus. But what is it in this story today that speaks to me and to us? The two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Historically, Emmaus historically and geographically is debated as to where that would be. The main point is that everyone agrees is that it was a village or a town somewhere on the way from Jerusalem. And it was a fair distance away from the holy city. So in some ways, this journey to Emmaus could have been said to be a mundane and everyday travel route for many people. In this case, in very unusual times. Before continuing with the story, I'll take a slight detour. I was really trying to refrain myself from looking into the words and the meanings, but I could not entirely contain myself. As we all know, names carry meaning. And I found that it was really interesting that the only disciple that is named in this story is Cleopas. So I started digging. So what does that name mean? It is a Greek version of an Aramaic name, a language that Jesus would have spoken, that means Cleopha. And it is abbreviated or shortened version of the Greek name that means spells as Cleopatros. And perhaps the feminine version of that name is more familiar to us as Cleopatra. So the actual meaning of the name means glory to the Father. So I found that it was very interesting that this is the only disciple that is named in the story and the one who actually speaks to Jesus. But back to the gospel. So the road is a common road traveled. The two disciples are walking deep in their thoughts and in grim conversation. A stranger, a visitor to Jerusalem, as some texts would read, joins them. We know, thanks to Luke's explanation, that it is Jesus, but the disciples do not recognize him. So this stranger asks the disciples, "What troubles them?" And after a period of silence, Cleopas responds, "That Jesus has been crucified only 3 days ago, and the events of these days weigh heavily on their minds. They are troubled and said, 'That Jesus of Nazareth was betrayed.' They thought him to be a redeemer of Israel, and now that he was dead, they are lost. They heard the news from some of their own that the tomb is empty and that Jesus may live. But at this point, this is only news, or maybe just a rumor. And in this moment, Jesus interjects, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things, then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. Now, this part I find interesting. First, disciples didn't recognize Jesus in the stranger that joined them on the road, but in all fairness, that can happen. I think it has to do with their expectations. Disciples knew that Jesus died, and they did not expect to see him join them on their trip. That can happen in our lives. I mean, recently I actually walked into a store of a supplier that I frequently deal with, and there was a fellow there that I was fairly certain it was a new employee that they had, and it took me about 5 minutes to clue in that this was actually I knew him to be a bitter, grumpy sheet metal fabricator. But now suddenly he looked sharp, smiling, well-groomed. Something had changed in his life, and actually it was like, even during the conversation up until the moment he said, "Hey, Taras, how are you?" I couldn't believe that was Nick. But now Jesus enters into a conversation with them, with his disciples, teaching them the scripture as he used to do all the time that they were with him. I mean, nobody else talked about the Messiah and the things he had to undergo, but here is a stranger that talks to them in the way that Jesus did, and yet they still do not recognize him. But the two disciples do warm up to this stranger that they met on the road. This we can gather from the fact that as they come to the village, this stranger, the traveling hippie, was about to walk on his way. But the disciples actually ask him to stay with them for a meal because it is almost evening and the day is now almost over. And the stranger stays with them at the table. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And suddenly their eyes opened and they recognize him. And he vanished from their sight. There is something powerful in the act of breaking of the bread. To the disciples, it would have been something very intimate and meaningful, as from the Last Supper. That's something that they would have remembered well. I think in so doing, Jesus acts out selfless love and displayed the teaching and the scripture he was trying to convey to them. But what it is for us in our mundane journeys to Emmaus, in our journeys from point A to point B. I find that a stranger can manifest the presence of Jesus. In one instance, looking back, way back now, I clearly remember my amazement and a moment of jaw-dropping when a co-worker I had very little respect for said a few things to me. He was the least of the people I would willingly go to unburden myself or to seek advice from. Since at the time, to most of the guys on the crew, they saw him as a slow, a little incompetent, unable to do the hard work. In fact, to us at that time, it seemed that his only merit was the fact that he was our foreman's drinking buddy. But on one very long drive from work, and I was dealing with some personal issues, I was giving him a ride to the closest subway station. He turned to me and asked me, "What's happening with me?" I don't know what at that time possessed me, but I started to explain everything that was going wrong. And after listening to a very long-winded monologue, he replied, "You assume that this is the worst part of life and there is no way out. But this here is just one drop in the river of life. You need to learn how to rest your troubles and sorrows in God's hands. Your life will be better then." I was speechless. And to the best of my memory now, the rest of the way we drove in that silence. As I look back at this, and in our scripture today, I can say that the best I can do, we can do, is to be kind and receptive to the strangers in our journeys, because Christ may come into our lives in their presence, and keep our hearts open, so that Christ may manifest through us in the lives of others. And to this, let us pray. Lord God, the wellspring of life, pour into our hearts the living water of your grace. By your light, we see light. Increase our faith and grant that we may walk in the brightness of your presence through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.